Testament reading comes from Isaiah chapter 43. But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. And when you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Saba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and from the west. I will gather you up. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson comes from Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Today's gospel comes to us from Luke chapter 3, beginning at the 15th verse. As the people were in expectation, and that all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Christ, John answered them all, saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So, with many other exhortations, he preached good news to the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, who had been reproved by him for Herodias, his brother's wife, and for all the evil things that Herod had done, added this to them all, that he locked up John in prison. Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. After pondering what you'd do if you won the lottery, if I heard right, we all get to ponder for another week to what it would be like to just step immediately to Trump-like levels, because nobody won. But after such pondering, there are a few other mental what-if games. Some version of desert island list is a perennial. If you're stranded on a desert island, and you could bring one record, one piece of clothing, one device, one book, which would it be? There are the obvious answers. but that isn't why you play that game. Saying I'm buying a Benz after winning the lottery, well, yeah, who wouldn't? Saying you take Sergeant Pepper's or Shakespeare, likewise. Victory in that game is the item that makes others go, yeah, I wish I remembered that one. A seminarian or a pastoral version of the game is, if everything else in the Bible was gone, what book or what segment of the Bible written would you save? And the obvious answers are always like the Gospel of John or Romans. Somebody always says Isaiah, and others say Genesis, and somebody says Revelations. And if you look at the transmission history of Revelation, I think that's actually roughly how we got it, because it's a completely different transmission history. Trying to win, I always used to say Ephesians, because of that very Lutheran, by grace you are saved through faith and not of yourselves, combined with what other says about election, but that's more about what I think about. But coming back and spending some time with John the Baptist in Luke might give me a different answer with slightly different criteria. Jesus would later say that no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. And as you read through the book of Acts, there are several points where the apostles come across some disciples of John the Baptist, who are people who knew of John's baptism, but didn't know the rest. In the words of today's text, they had been baptized with water, but not with the Holy Spirit and fire. And these people were typically glad to hear the rest of the story. John was a big thing to that first generation of Christians. I think to us, he usually comes off as something just slightly odd. We don't completely get it. But this week I read verse 18 closer. With many other exhortations, he preached the good news to the people. Origen comments, consider how many things there are that have been recorded. John's preaching per Luke was the good news. It was the gospel. That's something to ponder in and of itself, how proclaiming the kingdom in advance is the good news. But what Origen calls out is just how complete John's gospel is, even given its brief format. If all you had was John's preaching, here's what you'd have. You'd have a teaching of the Trinity, both in personhood and purpose. The Father is present as the love in which we live and move and have our being. He's present as the voice heard at that baptism, that this one is the one I love. The Son is present as the stronger one. And if you unpack just what John means by not being worthy to untie a sandal, you eventually arrive at something called the kinsman redeemer. What John is saying is, I'm the best man, and he's the bridegroom. And he's here for his bride, Israel, the church, and he's here to redeem her. And you'd have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who is given in baptism. The Spirit which enlivens and empowers that word proclaimed. And the Spirit which brings us peace, that dove reminiscent of Noah, by pointing to the one who made peace for us. If all you had was John the Baptist, you'd still have the Trinity to ponder. But you'd also have two natures in Christ. John recognizes that the Jesus presenting himself to be baptized didn't need his baptism. It needed to be the other way around. John needs Jesus' baptism, just like we do. But to fulfill all righteousness according to his human nature, Jesus stands with us in that baptism of repentance. And while he does that, according to his divine nature, he's beloved and pleasing to God. As Luther would put it in the baptismal liturgy prayer, Christ sanctified and instituted all waters to be a blessed flood and a lavish washing away of sin through his baptism in the Jordan by John. It's here in those waters of baptism that we pass as we enter into the church, that the two natures are given an epiphany in one Christ. As John would preach, I'm not the Christ, but he's right there. If you can see the epiphany. We've already touched on it, but you'd have an even more solid teaching on baptism. Baptism can be about repentance, but it's so much more. It's not just simple water only, but water full of the Spirit and of fire. You'd have the mystical connection it creates with Christ. We are baptized into Christ because he stood with us. And by looking at the location at the Jordan River, you'd eventually make the connection that a new Israel is crossing the Jordan through baptism. Collectively, in baptism, we are made into the new Israel and brought into the promised land. That's what John is doing out there, calling a new people. And you'd see the personal fulfillment of John's ministry in those few places in Acts. Only listening to John the Baptist, you'd have a solid understanding of our state, which is by nature sinful. And you'd have a solid grasp on what is necessary. Repentance. But beyond sin and repentance, John's preaching would also give us insight into what do we do now, known as sanctification. After having been baptized with fire and the Spirit, those elements that make our sanctification, John proclaimed we should bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And John would expand on who it is open to and how. The crowds, the tax collectors, and the soldiers would ask him, and John would answer. Sanctification is not just for a professional class, some monks hid away, but it's for the crowds. It would even be extended to the hated tax collectors and soldiers, who in that day could often be little more than legalized theft and murder, can play a healthy role living their vocation and not the perks or temptations of their office. We're here to bear the fruits of repentance, to lead sanctified lives. And John's preaching would give us a solid understanding of the last things. All of this is heading towards a conclusion, a judgment. Time is not just a wash, rinse, repeat cycle, as most people had thought. But we aren't the judges. He is. also by John's example. All the people were in expectation, including John, but we would also learn that we know neither the day nor the hour. As John would ask Jesus a little question, if he was the one or if another was coming. Luke says that John taught still other things. But Origen says, look at what is recorded. The Trinity, Christ, baptism, sin, repentance, sanctification, last things. John may have preached other things, but that's a very complete list. As complete as it could be before Jesus' passion and resurrection. If you're looking for an alternative desert island catechism, turn to John the Baptist's preaching and hear. But his life, and how Luke tells it, picks up one more thing. John didn't just preach it, but he lived it to the end. I mentioned marriage only briefly, with John being the best man and Jesus the bride. But this gets confirmed in his life. John calls out Herod for his false redemption of Herodias, comparing it to Jesus as the bridegroom redeeming his sanctified bride. And I don't want to get too lost in an archaic Jewish practice, but when a brother has died without children, according to their Levirate marriage laws, the brother would redeem the wife. That's the story of Ruth and Boaz, which used to be a favorite Bible love story. It's also the story of Judah and Tamar, which is much more scandalous. Where physical Israel has failed to be fruitful, Christ, our brother, would redeem Israel. Herod and Herodias were the perfect symbol of the unfruitful and sinful state. She has already had children by Herod's brother Philip, so no need for that redemption. Yet she was now married to the other brother. Everything proper about marriage was being mocked by Herod. And John called on it. And it ended in John's imprisonment and his eventual death. Herod added this sin to them all. In his life and in his death, John preached the reality of suffering in this world. He was the forerunner of the greater one who would suffer and die for us. And this world that adds that sin to them all, denying that their sin always opposes the saints. John teaches us also about suffering, which for those who proclaim Christ will often reflect his life. Jesus would add to that statement about John being the greatest that the least in the kingdom would be greater than he. And that's the point of all of John's preaching is pointed towards, that he must become greater and I less. The kingdom is here in that one. And you are part of the kingdom here in that baptism, in those waters, sanctified by Jesus, standing with John in that Jordan, that was the start. And here is the river that fruitful trees are planted on. Amen.